Well, everybody, welcome to episode 145 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Coldwell Banker is rooted in the legacy of our founder, renowned businessman and philanthropist Marvin Pomeranz. We continue to tell his story through our love of people, homes, and the communities we serve. Our integrity guides our focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. We pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, well, we're going to talk a lot of postseason baseball and softball tonight. In a little while, I'll be visiting with one of the young standouts on the Ankeny Centennial baseball team, and I'll also be talking to one of the stars who led the Centennial softball team back to the state tournament for the second straight year. I will also have a special guest at the end of the podcast to break down next week's state softball tournament. But right now, I want to bring in the first of my two guests from the red-hot Ankeny baseball team. He's a senior catcher and third baseman who has helped the second-ranked Hawks to a 29-6 record. He's batting .420 with 3 homers and 25 RBIs. He's Colin Riggs. Colin, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm good. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season. Your team is really on a roll right now. Could you feel any better about your team's chances to win the state title as you get ready for your first sub-state game on Friday?
No, I think we've been really hot late in the season, and that's when you got to be hot to win a championship, I think. So.
Well, you guys extended your winning streak to 16 games last night with a 1-0 victory at Waukee, and you've now won 26 of your last 27 games. I know that Jace Bauer told me that last night's game kind of had a postseason feel to it. You know, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the one game at 7 o'clock layout, and then with the competition we had, Waukee definitely a solid team. They threw some good pitching at us, and it was definitely a good game for us going into the postseason.
Well, Jace provided the only run in the game with a solo homer in the third inning, and I was at Centennial's regional softball game last night, so I didn't get to see it, but I heard he just crushed that ball, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely crushed. Second pitch of the at-bat, it was a good hit.
Well, Jace and Tamden Webb-Tate each had 2 hits last night, but the rest of your lineup went hitless, which is so unusual for you guys. It was only the second time all season that you guys were held to just one run. So was that Waukee pitcher, Camden Coffin, was he pretty tough to deal with?
Yeah, he was definitely a good pitcher. I feel like we made good contact. I mean, a lot of our guys put the ball in play, which is what you can ask for. They just made some good plays in the field. So I think we don't have anything to worry about when it comes to hitting the ball.
Well, fortunately, you guys had Brody Brecht on the mound, and the one run was all he needed. Brody tossed a one hitter and had 14 strikeouts for his fourth consecutive shutout. You know, he's just had so many incredible games this season. How was his stuff last night compared to the other games?
Last night, he was definitely dialed in. All of his pitches were working. They were all going across the plate. He only had 3 walks, I think, and I mean, he was just dealing the whole night, so it was good.
Well, of course, Brody's been watched closely by MLB scouts all season leading up to the draft, which was held earlier this week. And Brody ended up getting passed over in the draft, and he's decided to honor his commitment to play football and baseball at Iowa. Do you think he was kind of relieved last night just to be able to go out there and pitch and not have to think about the draft?
Yeah, definitely. He had been thinking about a lot of stuff these past couple weeks, and I think just getting past that and getting that whole load off his shoulders was definitely that helped him throw last night.
Well, you played third base last night, but Coach Ballvans has used you at catcher, you know, quite a bit this season, especially during the doubleheaders. Have you enjoyed getting behind the plate this year?
Yeah, it's definitely been a good time. I got to catch Weston's perfect game the other night. It was definitely a really cool experience for me, and I think catching is awesome. It keeps me in the game every pitch. You know, I'm always doing something, so it's fun.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Weston's perfect game. You know, he's had some good performances, but he usually has like a couple of walks along the way. Boy, he was just really dealing the other night, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely something odd. Doesn't happen often, but no, he's definitely been dialing it in lately. He's just been working hard. I'm proud of him. He's been doing good.
Well, let's look ahead to the postseason a little bit. You guys have earned the number one seed in Substate 1, and you'll host a winless Des Moines North in a quarterfinal game on Friday. Your team is obviously a huge favorite to win that game. You know, I almost think that would put a little pressure on you guys, but it seems like most of the players on this team are a pretty loose bunch. I'm guessing you guys won't get too stressed out about that game, will you?
No, I don't think so. And then we've had so many guys come back from last year in our state run. Like, I don't think we will feel that much pressure. You know, I think we've all been there, done that kind of thing. So I think we can go out there and just play our game and get a couple wins and hopefully bring home a title.
Well, assuming you guys win Friday, it would appear likely that you would face either a fifth-ranked Sioux City East or Valley in the sub-state final next Wednesday. Now, on paper, Sioux City East looks pretty impressive. They got a 34-6 record. They have a pitcher in Kel Bover with a 6-0 mark and a 0.36 ERA. But Coach Ballvans told me that he thinks East may have to use Bover to get past Valley in the semifinal round on Monday, which would obviously take him out of the equation on Wednesday. So which team do you expect to see in the sub-state final?
I think if Bover has a good game, we could see Sioux City East in the final. But I think once we get past Bover, which we won't have to face him, I don't think they have much in the bullpen behind him.
Well, if you guys are able to get back to the state tournament, it will be held this year on July 29th through the 31st at Duane Banks Field. What was your reaction when you heard that the state tournament was being moved to Iowa City?
I was surprised. I mean, I'd always known it to be at Principal, and it's always been really fun to go to Principal and play there. But I think that playing at Iowa City will be new with the hotel, staying with the team. I think it'll be a good time.
Well, your team will have to win 3 games in 3 days to win the championship this year. You guys obviously have a couple of studs in Brody and Weston, who might be able to get you back in the title game. Now, last year, you guys kind of ran out of pitching in that loss to Johnston in the championship game. But do you think you guys are better equipped to handle that load this year, with the depth that you have, with guys like Will Johnson, Dylan Schley, Sammy Andrews, and some others?
Yeah, I definitely think we'll have a better chance this year. We're going to, I think, have a little more strategy when it comes to who pitches, how many pitches on what day, and it depends on who we face. And I think it'll be definitely better than last year.
Well, Colin, I mentioned earlier that Brody would be playing both football and baseball at Iowa, and I'm sure you can relate to that. You committed to play football at St. Ambrose, and the coaches have since talked to you about playing baseball as well. Is that something that you had even considered doing, or was it just the type of season that you were having that made you think about it?
I wasn't considering it at first, but then I started playing good, and I realized that my love is both football and baseball. I couldn't decide one, so I think that my season that I've been having has definitely helped my decision to play both there at St. Ambrose, so...
All right, Colin, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Appreciate your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
All right, my next guest is a senior outfielder and first baseman for the Hawks. Like Colin, he has also had a tremendous season at the plate. He's batting .365 with 7 doubles and 27 RBIs. He's Cade Summers. Cade, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you were part of the state championship football team along with Colin, and you guys are certainly one of the favorites, if not the favorite, to win the Class 4A title in baseball now. What would that mean to you to finish off your high school career with another championship?
I think it'd be a really big honor, not just for our team, but I think from like everybody that we associate ourselves with too, just to really come together and kind of seal both, and something we've been dreaming about as kids. So that'd be really, really cool.
We talked with Colin about the game last night with Waukee. Do you think that was good for you guys to experience a close game like that going into the postseason, since you haven't had very many of those this season?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a different energy last night than there was in the games we've been playing recently, and I think it was a really good thing to kind of prep us to go, and it was a fun game to play in, and I think it'll benefit us a lot going into the postseason.
Well, you guys have been putting up some incredible offensive numbers this year, and nobody's been more impressive than Weston Folk, who actually went hitless for one of the rare times last night. But he's now batting .508 with 12 homers and 56 RBIs. He already set a school record with 20 doubles this season. What can you say about what he's done this year? He's just been incredible, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous to watch. It's super fun to watch. I mean, I think his slugging percentage is over .001, which is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's really fun to watch from the dugout just to watch him smoke the ball whenever he goes up to bat.
Yeah, I know he told me once earlier this season, that he'd kind of gotten into the zone. I'm like, man, you've been in the zone all season. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Well, both Weston and Jace rank among the state leaders in several offensive categories, but I think what makes your lineup so good is that it's so deep. You have guys at the bottom of the lineup like Carter Smith and Kel Boyd who can do a lot of damage. That's got to take some of the pressure off of all you guys, because that even if you don't get a hit, the next guy probably will.
Yeah, we take a lot of pride at the bottom end of the lineup, the bottom half, of being those guys that can go up and put a ball in play, make something happen. I think that's a big part of our success, is that not only that Jason, Brody, and Weston can all poke one out, but dudes on the bottom half can get on base for them to hit us around.
Well, we discussed your sub-state bracket earlier with Colin. What was your reaction when you first saw the teams that were in your path to the state tournament? Did you think it was a pretty favorable draw?
Yeah, I think so. I think Valley's been really solid all year. They've been kind of back and forth, and I think the game between them and Sioux City East should be a really good one. It'll be really interesting to see who we play in the final.
Were there any teams out there that you didn't want to see in your sub-state bracket? Maybe an average team that has a really good pitcher that if he was hot, that could give you some trouble?
There's nobody that I really thought about like that. I mean, it was just kind of tough because being in the pod we were in, we didn't really get to see a bunch of the other Metro teams, so I never really thought of anybody that I wouldn't want to see, but I guess we didn't really play very many teams from that other pod. So,
well, in the way you guys have played the last 6 weeks, you know, I don't imagine you're afraid of anybody at this point.
No, we've been playing really well, and I mean, I wouldn't have been upset with getting anybody the way that we've been hitting and throwing.
Well, we talked earlier about how Sioux City East could be a team that you'll see in the sub-state final, and they do have that stud pitcher in Kel Bover who's put up some really good numbers, you know, but you guys would have Brody Breck pitching in that game, so I'm guessing you'd still like your chances, you know, with him going against anybody.
Yeah, I would definitely. I mean, it was, that's what we kind of joked about last night after that game, was like, well, when Brody's on the mound, we only got to score one anyways, so, I mean, I'd take our chances with Brody against about anybody.
Well, you guys have had a close-up look at Brody and what he's gone through this season, you know, while he was preparing for the MLB draft. I don't know how he managed not to be distracted this season by all the scouts that were at your games, but, you know, he's really handled it well, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was the only one at our games not talking about the amount of scouts at our games. It's kind of like a running joke between us and the dugout, like, see how many we can count tonight. So I think it's really good for him to get that pressure off of his shoulders and just let him do his thing now.
Now, Brody's had some games this season where he was almost unhittable. You know, I don't think the other team really had a chance in some of those games. Does that make it kind of hard to stay on your toes and get ready to play defense when it's so hard for the other team to make contact?
A little bit. I mean, you kind of get lulled to sleep out in the outfield when a dude's just mowing down guys in the lineup like that. But, I mean, we try to keep it lively in the dugout and everything to stay in the game. And so you can, but, yeah, it just depends, I guess.
It's a good problem to have, though, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure Brody has to throw occasionally during practice between his starts, you know, even if it's just a short bullpen session. But does he ever throw any live batting practice to you guys, or maybe coach doesn't want to mess with the hitter's confidence, huh?
We do some live ABs, like, before the season starts, and most of the time during the season we just stick to machine and, like, coach pitch out of BP. But so we haven't seen him really during the season, but we might in the break between if we were to win the sub-state final game and then the state tournament, I think we'll probably do some live AB stuff in between that gap. So we could see him then.
Well, the last time you did face him, I mean, did you notice a difference in his stuff from, say, like a year ago?
I think it's obviously it's gotten better, and he's throwing a little bit harder now than he was last year. And just watching him anyways, I think you can see that. And I don't know, it's just crazy to see how well he's done and really impressive everything that he's done this year.
Well, I know Coach doesn't want you guys to look too far ahead, but let's assume that you guys make it back to state. Based on the latest rankings, there could be a really strong Final Four with top-ranked Pleasant Valley, your team, number 3 Johnston, and number 4 Dowling Catholic. You know, if the seeds would happen to shake out that same way, your team could potentially meet Johnston in the semifinals. And, of course, you know, they're the team that defeated you in the final last year, as well as in the quarterfinals the year before. I mean, would you like another crack at the Dragons?
Yeah, I'd like to play them again. I think our team is just, we want to play whoever it is, whatever it takes to get back to the championship game and try to get a chance to win it again. So if they happen to fall in front of us, I think it'd be fun to play them again. But if they don't, then we'd be fine with that too.
Well, you guys haven't played Johnston this season, but you have played those other two teams. You dropped doubleheaders to both Pleasant Valley and Dowling. You know, who do you perceive as maybe the biggest threat to prevent you from winning a title?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen much of Johnston just because we haven't played them at all this year. Pleasant Valley was pretty solid when they played us. I wouldn't say we weren't ready, but we weren't super prepared for that game. That was pretty early into the season, and we didn't see their ace. But Seth Clausen, he's really good for Pleasant Valley, and I don't know. I think we can go up against just about anybody. Bet on us against anybody. So.
Well, I know somebody told me that you know, Johnston can score, but they maybe don't have the depth of their pitching staff that they've had in the past. So, I mean, if you did run into them at state, you know, they might run into that problem of running out of pitchers as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I know you guys faced Dowling's freshman left-hander, Blake Larson, earlier this season. I've heard he's pretty good. He had 11 strikeouts in 5 innings against your team. You know, he must be a big-time prospect.
Yeah, we were actually talking about that today at practice, is that he was probably the best pitcher we've seen so far, and he was probably hitting 90s, low 90s, and yeah, he's going to be really, really good for a couple years and probably end up somewhere along the lines of the same thing that Brody's dealing with
sure.
right now.
Is he a big kid or does he just have a big arm?
He was pretty tall, probably 6'3", but yeah, he could chuck it. He was really solid.
Well, like Colin, you're going to be heading off to college in the fall shortly after the season ends. You're headed to Grandview to play football. When do you have to report for fall camp?
I move in August 6th, and I think fall camp starts the week after that.
So that'll be a quick turnaround for you guys.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Cade. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Appreciate your time, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker and MidAmerica. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, had a little bit of a technical glitch there. We started the recording, and then I think it stopped. So we're going to go back to the start. My next guest is a freshman pitcher and infielder for the Ankeny Centennial baseball team. He's helped the Jaguars to an 18-17 record. On the mound, he has compiled a 1-2 mark with a 3.76 ERA. And at the plate, he is batting .253 with two homers and 17 RBIs. He is Joey Oakey. Joey, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season thus far. You're one of five freshmen to see some varsity action for the Jaguars. You know, was it a big adjustment for you to learn how to play on this level?
Yeah, it was big. It was harder to adjust everything.
Well, do you think it was a bigger adjustment for you at the plate or on the mound?
I think it was a bigger adjustment on the plate because just a different pitching and different styles of pitching and more off-speed and everything.
Well, your team has certainly had some ups and downs this year, but I know Coach High feels like you guys are playing your best ball of the season going into the sub-state tournament. Do you feel like you guys are ready to surprise some people?
Yeah, I think we are. We're an exciting team, and we can hang with anyone in the state, we think, and we're just getting more experience as a young team, and everything's looking up right now.
Well, your team is seeded fourth in sub-state 7 and will play at third-seeded Des Moines Roosevelt in a quarterfinal game on Friday at 5 p.m. What have you learned about the Rough Riders from your scouting report?
Learned a lot about them. Just different things, and we think we can use that stuff and get a win.
Well, I know Coach High told me a few days ago that he was still working on his pitching plans for the postseason. You're one of five guys on the team to make at least 8 pitching appearances this season thus far. So I assume that you and some others like Damon Churchman, Kyle Miller, Easton Miller, and Lincoln Lacey, you know, could all get the ball at some point on Friday. But regardless of who pitches, though, what do you think is going to be the key to beating Roosevelt?
I think the key is to really get the bats going early and really come out the first inning, just win every inning and show that we can beat them. We beat them earlier in the year, and we think we can do the same thing.
Well, you guys are in one of the toughest sub-state brackets in the state. If you can get past Roosevelt, you would likely have to beat Indianola and defending champion Johnson in your next two games in order to qualify for state. I know you have to take them one game at a time, but do you think your team, you know, is capable of winning 3 straight games against opponents of that caliber?
Yeah, I think we can. We can get hot, and we can anything we can do, get more experience, and I think we can do it.
Well, you guys have such a young team with so many freshmen and sophomores, and you've had to play some teams like Ankeny that are loaded with veterans. Do you think it just took a while for this team to come together?
Yeah, at the start of the year, we got off a little rough, but I think we've really got more experience, and I think everything's going in the right direction.
Well, I know in those first few games that you guys really struggled with the play, but it seems like this team has really grown a lot throughout the season, I mean, in all aspects of the game.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Ankeny, they have a couple of guys, Brody Brecht and Weston Folk, who have committed to play for Iowa. And back in April, you also committed to play for the Hawkeyes before you had even played, you know, your first varsity game for the Jaguars. Were you surprised to get an offer from Iowa at such a young age?
Yeah, it was my dream ever since I was younger, and when I got it, I was just excited.
So where and when did Iowa's interest in you begin? You know, did they see you at a showcase or something?
Yeah, I went to a showcase earlier in the winter, or late in the winter, and right after that, I got followed by the coaches, and then he reached out to my UAAA coach, and we started talking, and I got an offer.
Well, you must have liked what you saw and heard from the Iowa coaches. You know, is that why you committed so early?
Yeah, always liked the program, and I've always been a Hawkeye fan. So when I got it, I was like, why wait?
Did you have, you know, any contact at all with any other schools?
Yeah, a couple other schools, but Iowa really separated themselves, and I like that a lot better.
Of course, Brody had the option of turning pro since he was ranked among the top 100 prospects in the country prior to the MLB draft, but he's elected to go to Iowa to play football and baseball. You know, I'm sure you followed what was going on with him, and it appears that he turned down a pretty hefty signing bonus in order to go to Iowa. You know, what did you think of his decision?
I liked his decision. Going to Iowa, play football and baseball. Can't wait to see him in the black and gold.
Well, Brody could go back in the draft in 3 years, and Weston may also be a prospect at that time. And, of course, you'll be a senior at Centennial in 2024, so you'll be eligible for the draft then, too. You know, there's no guarantee that you'll ever get a chance to play with those guys at Iowa, is there?
Mm-mm. I hope I can. I mean, I've always looked up to them, and they've always been good guys to me, so.
Well, I know it's still 3 years away, but have you given much thought to what you would do in 3 years if you happened to be in that same situation, you know, that Brody was in, having that chance to go pro?
No, not really. I mean, it's pretty far in the future, so.
All right, Joey. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. Good luck to you the rest of the season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients. You're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We are constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, my next guest is a senior pitcher for the 10th-ranked Centennial softball team, and she has helped lead the Jaguars to a second consecutive appearance in the Class 5A state tournament. Last night, she tossed a six-hitter and had six strikeouts in Centennial's 3-2 victory at 4th-ranked Indianola in a regional final, and that improved her record to 10-5 on the season. She is Sam Klug. Sam, thanks for joining me. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, congratulations on the win last night. Did you do anything special to celebrate afterwards, or did you just immediately start preparing for your next game?
Everything that you saw on the field was how we celebrated, and now we had the day off today for practice, and tomorrow we start again.
Well, you guys have been getting contributions from a lot of different players this season. It was freshman Addie Starr, who had three RBIs in the win over Ankeny on Monday. And then last night, Sydney Morris hit a home run in the fifth inning for what proved to be the winning run, and that was her first varsity homer. Do you have a lot of faith in your offense that they'll, you know, always be able to score some runs, even if you don't know, you know, who will be on any given night that's going to step up?
Yes, I do, and that showed on Monday when we were playing Ankeny and we were down by two, and I just had faith that they were going to come back and help me out.
Well, Indianola is a team that can really hit for some power. The Indians entered last night's game with 39 home runs in 38 games, and they did get a home run from Mara Bishop in the fifth inning after your team had already taken a 3-0 lead. But other than that one pitch, you know, you obviously did a good job of keeping the ball in the park. Did you feel like that was a big key coming into the game?
Yes, I would. I made sure to keep the ball low because I knew they were good hitters and just to hit my spots.
Well, Indianola's best hitter is Destiny Lewis, and she entered the game with 12 homers and 54 RBIs, but she went 0-for-3 in the game against you, including a big pop-up in the sixth inning when the Indians had a runner at third base. Now, you told me last night that you trust your pitching coach and you just threw the pitches that she called for you. So how many different pitches do you, you know, throw during the course of a game?
I have four different pitches, and I typically throw all of them if they're all working.
So what are those four pitches?
Fastball, change, curve, and rise.
All right. Well, I've seen you pitch several times this season. It seems to me like you throw at two different speeds. You have hard and harder. Would you say that you throw a pretty high percentage of fastballs, or are some of your other pitches, you know, also thrown pretty hard?
Yes. My main pitches are my fast pitches.
Well, your win over Indianola last night wasn't the only upset in the Class 5A tournament. Top-ranked Muscatine and number 3 Johnston also got knocked off. And that leaves number 2 Fort Dodge as the only remaining top 4 team in the field. Do you think that makes the state tournament pretty wide open?
I think that any team that made it's going to be good competition going in, and we just know that it's going to be any game. Like, we have to play good for any game to get to the state championship.
Well, your team will now get a matchup against third-seeded and sixth-ranked Iowa City High in the Class 5A quarterfinals on Tuesday. Do you know much yet about the Little Hawks?
No, we don't. We just know that it's going to be another game.
Well, I was looking at their stats today, and they've got a couple of girls with 8 home runs, but they also have a girl with 52 stolen bases, and she's one of their top pitchers as well. So it looks like they're a team that can maybe beat you in some different ways.
Yeah, we're expected to play a good team.
Well, do you think your team will benefit from the experience that you gained last year when you placed third in the school's first ever state tournament appearance?
Yes, I do. I think we'll know like how the aspect is up there and everything to expect.
Of course, last year you were a backup to starting pitcher Maddie Huseman, so this will be your first start in a state tournament game. Do you think you'll be nervous at all next Tuesday?
Yeah, probably a little bit, but I think as the games go on, I'll get over it.
Well, even though you didn't get to pitch in last year's tournament, do you think you learned some things from watching Maddie and how she operated? Because, you know, she certainly had a great tournament.
Yes, I did. Maddie was a great leader, and I'm glad to follow in her footsteps this year.
Well, your catcher, Ella Schultz, was an all-tournament pick last season. She's been a 4-year starter for the Jaguars. How much does it help to have someone like her behind the plate with so much experience?
It helps me a lot because I know that I can trust her to be there for, like, any play that I need and just for our team to be there.
Well, I know you're not planning to play softball in college, so these will be the last few games of your career. What would that mean to you if you guys are able to pull out 3 more wins and you're able to capture a state championship to close out your career?
It would make my high school career the best.
That would be a nice way to go out, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Well, hey, Sam, thanks a lot for coming in. I appreciate it. Good luck at the state tournament.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, my final guest tonight is a semi-regular on the podcast. He's made several previous appearances. He's a broadcaster for CISN-TV, and his daughter, Addie, is a freshman outfielder on the Centennial softball team, so I wanted to get his perspective on next week's state tournament. He is Andy Pollack. Andy, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
It's great to be here. I'm kind of a weather geek, so kind of watching all the clouds tonight, a little distracted, but I'm excited to talk some softball.
Yeah, you bet. Well, hey, before we break down the state tournament, I wanted to ask you about the Facebook Live events that you did this week. So you basically broadcasted both of Centennial's regional games over Facebook. Is that right? Seems like you were a big hit.
Yeah, just did it over the over my personal Facebook page. And, you know, with doing the games through the state tournament or through the regional tournament, it comes with a couple of unique challenges. One of those is that the state charges a lot of money to carry those on, whether it's a parent just holding their phone there or whatever. The state has a fee, and it was a lot of fun. Had several businesses in town that chipped in to make that happen. And, you know, in this setting right now, that we got grandparents, parents, fans all over the place, and had a great, great, great crowd to watch the game on Monday night, the rain out that got played Monday night, right, between Ankeny and Centennial. And after, I guess, probably about 750 people watching the game, and then, you know, you get a couple hundred watching online. Didn't think that could be topped, and then last night happened. And the sub-state game, incredible. I mean, just the amount of people that were watching the game and the comments and the interaction, that's what makes that medium fun, is that there's a lot of people that can interact throughout the time too. So you're getting comments throughout on the page, and just a really fun atmosphere the last couple of nights, and it was great to be a part of.
What gave you the idea to do that? I mean, did somebody ask you to maybe do that? Or
It got started here. So doing the CISN stuff, it started back here when Centennial played Ankeny the first time this year out of the five. First time that they played. CISN, who normally would be all over doing that game, happened at the same time as the state soccer tournament. And they've got a deal with the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union that they provide all the talent and the equipment for the IGHSAU digital network. And just talking to Coach Delaney, asked, is there any way I can get that on? And I have nothing but my phone. So, I mean, probably could have done it with a phone, but we wanted to give people their a good quality live stream and talk to a couple businesses. They chipped in. We were able to get the equipment to do it, and things definitely ballooned from there. They snowballed. So we did that game and ended up doing probably six or seven home games for Centennial throughout the course of the year. And then, you know, you get to the tournament side of things and get permission from the state to do it, and before you know it, you've got a lot of people watching and get quite the following.
Well, there you go. Well, let's talk some softball. With Centennial being ranked to where they are at number 10, you know, I thought after their win last night that depending on the outcome of some other games, you know, they could get matched up against number 1 Muscatine or number 2 Fort Dodge in the Class 5A quarterfinals. But obviously it was a crazy night with all the upsets. Muscatine went down, number 3 Johnston went down, in addition to Indianola, of course. So the Jaguars ended up as the number 6 seed. I mean, it was just a crazy night, wasn't it?
Very much crazy. And as I'm looking through the teams that made it, the state puts out a kind of a bio on the teams that make it. I'm like, where's Muscatine? Like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, they're not here. I mean, that was the top-ranked team. They beat Fort Dodge, if I remember right, earlier in the year. So it's a crazy sport. Things can happen. The ball, you know, we say in football, the ball bounces funny ways. Well, it spins funny ways in softball, and you can get a lot of bloop hits. And I have no idea how that game transpired last night, but a shock for those in the softball world to see Muscatine get beat and everything gets shaken up. And, you know, to not have Muscatine, to not have Johnston, you look at 4A, to not have DCG. I mean, there's some really quality softball teams historically that are not going to be playing at Fort Dodge next week.
Well, let's briefly discuss the Jaguars' victory over Indianola. You know, I hadn't seen the Indians play this season, but just looking at their stats, they look like a team that could really pound the ball, and they also had an elite pitcher in Kate Kralik. So it appeared to be a tough matchup for Centennial, but boy, you know, the Jaguars made all the plays that they had to, didn't they?
That's what this team has been about a lot throughout the course of the year. And Sam Klug, we'll have her nights that she's in double-digit strikeouts. Didn't get there last night. I mean, she's a good pitcher. She's been hitting her spots, and this team will go as far as she can take them. But they play such good defense. No one, they're not a great hitting team. They're a good hitting team. But last night just proved there were so many big defensive plays throughout the course of the game. I think none bigger than Mackenzie James. There's a shot hit out to the center field. Looked like it was going to be gone. I don't even remember the batter for Indianola. It was towards the bottom of the order. There had already been a home run hit that inning. And the ball goes off the top of the wall. Mackenzie James bare hands it, throws it to second, and it was not even a play. She was out. And that was a huge out in the ball game last night. Obviously a one-run game, 3-2. Centennial wins it. So a huge play there. Anna Christensen in the last inning, heading towards second base, dives, makes a play, throws it over to first to Lizzie Klunder and gets the out. Just so many big defensive plays throughout the course of the evening. That's what they've been. This is not a team that's probably built to score, you know, 6, 7, 8 runs in a game here at the state tournament, but they've just had clutch defensive plays every time they need it.
Yeah, and Solis had that nice diving catch, I think, in the second inning, too.
Lauren Solis, and what a big year she's having. You know, at the beginning of the year, Didn't know if she was going to be the one that was going to hold on to that that shortstop spot all season long, and she's done absolutely nothing to lose it. I know she was banged up early on, and all she's done is make plays.
Boy, can you hear that rain? Wow.
It's the rain pouring on us right now.
I thought that was my recording.
I know. I was trying to figure out where it was coming from, too.
Well, now Centennial gets a matchup against a sixth-ranked and third-seeded Iowa City High, which has won 12 of its last 13 games since dropping a 7-6 decision to Ankeny on June 25th. Do you know much yet about the Little Hawks?
I don't know a whole lot about them. I briefly had a chance to look at some of their stats. You know, they've had a couple girls that are in double-digit home runs, and that's always a concern. And that's as you get to this time of year, you've got all sorts of data on each of the teams, and you can figure that stuff out as a coach. A pretty decent batting average, and their runs per game and their record is obviously really good. They're 33-7, you know, throughout the course of the year. And a few weeks back, if everybody remembers the night that the funnel cloud was north of town, well, that next day, City High was actually supposed to play Centennial. And looking back, that would have been a nice matchup. that would have been a good time to figure out where each team sits right now. So they've got a couple pitchers who are doing well. Ella Cook and Ayana Lindsay are two of their pitchers, and they both have good records, and I don't know enough about them to know who their ace is. I would imagine it's Cook with her 17-3 record and looking at her earned run average of 1.32, but Lindsay's got a 1.62 earned run average, so that's a couple really nice pitchers that they've got over there for the Little Hawks.
I looked it up today, too, and their innings are pretty similar, so it almost looks like they're co-aces. I mean, the Jaguars are probably going to be ready for both of them.
Yeah, and you do is you prepare for that, and, you know, the Jags saw that with the Hawks, too. You know, you have the double-headed monster with Winfrey and Billings, you know, that they will both throw at you, and they used them both the other night when the Jags beat them. So the one thing about the Jags is we hear more rain falling right now, but they're really good when they see a team the second time, when they see a pitcher the second time through. So we'll be very curious to see how things transpire, you know, in Fort Dodge on Tuesday night.
Well, if I was looking at the right column, I think Cook and Kerry Koenig both have 8 home runs to lead the team. You know, so this is a squad that can obviously hit for some power. And then Lindsay's a speedster that she's stolen 52 bases. And then they have an eighth grader, Leanna Hull, that has 24 steals. So it looks like this is a team that can maybe beat you in some different ways.
Yeah, there's and that's what you get to when you get to this time of year. You know, the first round game, the first round regional game against Ankeny, a team very much built for speed. And you knew they were ready for it. And it's interesting to see how things transpire schematically throughout the course of the year, because the first time those two teams played, I think they had a decent idea of what they could do, but you saw they played their game, right? And Centennial wins the first game and the Jags win the second game. The second time they play, the second doubleheader, both teams played it pretty safe. You know, they knew at that time that they were going to play in the regionals, in the first round of the regionals, and then they play in the regionals the other night, and there was so much game within the game, shifting on defense and moving girls in and out and putting batters in certain scenarios. So it's very fun to see as more coaches become familiar with what certain girls can do. And I know Coach Delaney, as they look at what City High has, and they'll be able to get some video and see what those girls can do. And you look at the stats, he'll come up with he's a tactician. He's a very much a schematic guy. He's going to be able to come up with a very good game plan.
Well, you mentioned Centennial's defense, and the other thing that I really like about this team is that, you know, they don't have to rely on any one player. Of course, Sam Klug has been carrying the load on the mound in regional play, but, you know, Coach Delaney has some other pitchers that he can go to if he has to at state. And at the plate, you know, the Jaguars just have so many different weapons. Ella Schultz is the team's primary power threat, but it was freshman Eddie Starr who came up big with 3 RBIs in the win over Ankeny on Monday. And she had another RBI last night, but Centennial also manufactured a run thanks to an Indianola error and a defensive obstruction call at home plate. And then, of course, Sydney Morris blasted a home run for what proved to be the winning run. So it seems like it's a different kid every night that steps up for this team.
It has been, and it's been interesting because at this point of the season, you know, who's going to step up? Who is that next one going to be? Even you look back to that Ankeny game, Lauren Solis gets on with an error, and that leads to her getting a run. And you bring up back last night, and Sydney Morris, who hits the first home run of her life, you know, over the left field wall on an 0-2 pitch at that. So, which ends up being the game winner, you know, in a one-run game. So, and what more can you say about Addie Starr? I mean, I know you've had a great time playing on her last name with some of your headlines and that, and that's I enjoy that because it's, you know, my daughter's good friends with her, and we've been able to grow up with them playing all sorts of different sports. And actually, 3 of my daughters play sports with the Star Girls, so we hang out with their family all the time. And it's been so much fun to see the success she's had this year. Addie works so hard at her craft in the world of softball, and what a postseason she's had right now. I think at the moment she's 4-for-6, I think, in the postseason, and has like 4 RBIs and another run scored. Yeah. You know, and that's out of 7 runs that the Jags have scored right now in the postseason.
That's pretty impressive. Well, when you look at the tournament as a whole, you know, I thought Fort Dodge might be the favorite going in, you know, even if those other highly ranked teams had made the field. But now that the Dodgers are the only top four team remaining, I mean, they seem like the obvious favorite, don't they?
They do. And the one thing that you've seen about Fort Dodge, and I enjoy a bunch talking to head coach Andy Adams. I've had a chance to interview her several times, and she's very real about everything that goes on. And they're a blue-collar team. And Fort Dodge, they're so good at the big stuff that allows them to focus on some of the smaller things. And I know that's one of the things that some of our programs around here would like to get to. They've got a great lower level club scene, and they've got a plan in place to get these girls matured to where they need to be by the time they're in eighth and ninth grade with their Fort Dodge Pride program. And watching what they do, they're again, the basics of softball they're so good at, and allows them to do so many more advanced things. They're so good situationally, everything that they do, a fun team to watch. Now, that being said, they're not unbeatable. They've got some warts out there, and they still need to play well. They've got probably the best pitcher in the state in Jalen Adams, and mm-hmm. that's Andy Adams' daughter. She's just a junior going to Iowa. They've got one of the best catchers in the state. They maybe have the best eighth grader in the state. So they've got a lot of really good softball players. Centennial has had some great battles with them this year. In fact, beat them one time. They're 1-3 against them, and three losses have all been really, really, really close, and they all boil down to one inning. So
right.
That they're in the other half of the bracket, obviously as the top-seeded team. But, man, it would be so much fun if Centennial gets a chance to play Fort Dodge again, as they did last year in the state tournament. Just an incredible atmosphere up there at Harlan Rogers Park. Fort Dodge brings so many fans to the game. Centennial did last year. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's a matchup a lot of people want to see, I know. Well, the winner of that Centennial City High game would meet either Pleasant Valley or Southeast Polk in Wednesday's semifinals. Pleasant Valley would have to be favoring that matchup, but Southeast Polk can really mash the ball, and they're coming off a 10-8 win over Johnston in the regional final. So I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled off another upset. How do you see that matchup?
Yeah, certainly not. Southeast Polk has been a team throughout the course of the year that you just kind of wonder which team's going to show up. As you look through the scores that they've had, some nights they look like they can beat anybody in the state, and other nights you're like, hey, how did that happen type of thing. So I don't know much about PV. Historically, they're a very good program. Obviously seated higher right now, but Southeast Polk, you know, beat Centennial just a couple weeks ago. So they're a very talented team. And like I said, it can be – you just don't know what you're going to get with Southeast Polk on a given night, and Johnston found that out here last night.
Well, you mentioned that Fort Dodge is on the other side of the bracket. They'll play Bettendorf, and then Waukee will play defending champion Cedar Rapids Kennedy in the 4-5 matchup. Now, on paper, the Fort Dodge-Bettendorf game looks like a mismatch, but, you know, the Bulldogs just knocked off Muscatine, so they're not going to be intimidated by anybody, are they?
And Centennial, with none of their seniors around, beat Bettendorf earlier this year. It was actually on graduation day, so they had none of their seniors around, went in and beat Bettendorf, and it wasn't close. And this game of softball is a weird one because some days you've got it and some days you don't. And that day, Centennial definitely had it. Lauren Gustafson, the number two pitcher, I guess mm-hmm. you'd say, she completely shut down Bettendorf, and everybody was able to hit the ball. Kind of a coming out party for Peyton Drefke that day. That's when they figured out that she can hit the ball pretty well, and then she goes on to bat like 440 the rest of the
right.
year, the freshman for Centennial. So it's good. Centennial, I really like what Coach Delaney's done. He seeks out great competition throughout the course of the year. I know he would love to get it up into that Fort Dodge tournament that they've got, because they bring in some of the best teams in the state year after year, because it's a great opportunity to see some of that great pitching. It's a great opportunity to see some of the good hitters and maybe develop a strategy for going against them later on.
Well, of course, Fort Dodge knocked off a Centennial in last year's semifinals. You mentioned that. And then the Dodgers went on to lose to Kennedy in the final. You know, it just seems like this year the Dodgers are on a mission to maybe take that next step this season, just kind of like the Ankeny baseball team is. Fort Dodge also benefits from playing on its home field. How much of an advantage do you think that is for them?
Oh, a big advantage. I mean, they get so many fans up there, and they've got a great following anyway. And we talked about my Facebook Live stuff earlier on. The highest views that I've had this year for an individual game was actually a freshman game. I did a freshman game on Facebook Live and put it out there, and I've got a couple friends in Fort Dodge, and I had more views for that individual game when actually the girl that's now pitching for their varsity, the number two pitcher, she's an eighth grader.
Right.
She was pitching that day for varsity, and I had more views for that game on my Facebook Live than I've had for any other individual event this year.
Wow.
If that tells you what softball means to that city up there.
Well, I know you have a vested interest in the Centennial team, so I'm not going to ask you to predict a winner next week, but it should be a heck of a tournament.
Centennial by a million.
Yeah, there you go. So are you just going to be a dad next week? You're not doing any more Facebook Lives, right?
I will not be doing Facebook Lives. So I do some side work for the Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union, their digital network. I will not be doing the the Centennial game. I will not be doing any 5A games, so they'll keep me away from that. They know better. So no cheering in the press box.
That's right.
So
that's
on
right.
Press row. So I will be doing some Monday games and then a Tuesday game as well, and then probably just hang around and be there for Tuesday night and cheer on the Jags. I will be in 100% fan mode on Tuesday night.
Well, it should be a fun tournament. Hopefully this rain that we're having tonight will stay away from Fort Dodge next week. We don't need any of that. So.
I just had a friend show me the forecast today, and it's going to be a Chamber of Commerce week in Fort Dodge. The weather looks beautiful, mid-80s all week long, so it looks awesome.
Good deal. Well, hey, I'll probably see you up there, Andy.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Yep, thanks. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. I want to thank all my guests again for coming in tonight. I really appreciate their time. So come back next week for another edition of the podcast. We'll probably be putting it out next Thursday with the baseball sub-state finals on Wednesday, as well as the state softball tournament. There should be some games on Wednesday, either in the championship bracket or the consolation bracket. We're probably going to push the podcast back to Thursday. But come back then for another edition of the podcast.